blessing. Man, the man just loves so much. And I love to hear these men of God preach, and it was a blessing. And I enjoyed the personal time I had with him. And I feel like I went back to Bible college just in a few hours there, man. We went back and just so many things. But I want to give you something just quickly from the Word of God tonight. And I'm just going to give you a portion of it, just a quick thought tonight that will lead me into a message next Sunday night from the same portion of Scripture. So in Matthew 25, if you will turn there quickly, we're going to look at just two verses tonight out of a story that we're going to look at more in depth over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to give you something here really quickly that I noticed just in my personal Bible study. Matthew 25, I appreciate each of you that shared your testimonies. I know it can be a little anxiety-filled to speak in public, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate you letting us know a little bit about you. You're a new church family. We want to know you. We want to be able to pray for you and to be able to serve the Lord with you. So we appreciate you all doing that tonight. It was a help to us, a help to all of us. All righty, Matthew 25, notice this. We see this is the parable of the faithful steward, and we see that and I'm just going to take for granted that you have read this. Most of you probably are familiar with this. You're going to get a very big overview of it over the next couple of weeks. But we see Jesus as he gives three illustrations in Matthew 25, three different illustrations to illustrate the kingdom of heaven. One of those, he talks about a man who hires or gives three men. He invests into three different men, and he gives them different talents each. And so we'll explore all that a little bit later. But we come down to the unfaithful servant is who he's addressing here in Matthew 25. And look at verse number 24. We see here, as he's already talked to the first two, and he's already complimented them, then he comes to this third one. And this is the way the conversation starts. It says, "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed." Now, in that verse, we see basically the view that lost men have of God. Lost people often see God as being hard, or even the Christian life as being a hard life. And that view of it has kept a lot of people from wanting to accept Jesus as their Savior. There's a lot of people who feel that being a Christian would be a hard, boring, unfun, constant life of work and discipline. All they see when they see Jesus is a bunch of thou shalt nots. They see a bunch of rules. They see a bunch of restrictions. And they feel that the life of Jesus would be a hard life. And they see God as a hard person. A hard person to please. A hard person to love. A hard person to believe in. So we see that he says, thou art a hard man. We see the view that the lost man has. We see the excuses of idleness in this man. This lost man, this man that he's using these excuses. He thinks that God is bad, that the Christian life is too hard, that God wants what is not his, and he doesn't want God to have his life. He doesn't want God to have the things in his life. He says, you're God that wants to, you know, reap where you haven't sowed. And so he sees that God wants what is not his. He sees that in his mind, God is a hard one to accept. So we see that. Now let's go on to the next verse. It says, "And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." Now we'll look at the response of the master here and some more than this. But I just want to focus on this one thought there. In verse 25 and 26, we see three reasons why men fail in Christian service and many times even to accept Jesus as their Savior. We see three things in these two verses that leap out at me. First of all, I want to point out what he says there in verse number 26. It says, "And I was afraid." Say that with me. "And I was afraid." You know what I believe a lot of people, why they don't accept Jesus as their Savior? They're afraid. They're afraid of what it'll cost. They're afraid of what they'll have to give up. They're afraid of the Christian life and what they feel it requires. You know, Jesus said that my burden is easy, and yet people see that Christianity is a big old yoke. You know, there's a lot of things when you get saved that become things that you refer to as I used to. Do any of you have some I used to's in your life? I used to do this, and I used to do that. And I heard a man one time get up in church and talk about a lot of those I used to's. He said, before I got saved, I was this, and I was this, and I was this, and I was addicted to this and this. But he said, you know, God took care of that. He said, I didn't give that up for God. God did that for me. God set me free, and I found a better life once I got rid of all those weights that were holding me back. But he admitted that those weights were the things that kept him from serving the Lord. And there's just a lot of people that think the Christian life, they're afraid of it. They're afraid of the service. They're afraid of the things they see in the Word of God. And in this, they, you know, I've always believed that if you have rules and not a relationship, you're headed for ruin. Religion is just basically a lot of rules, a lot of restrictions. But whenever you really understand that Christianity is a relationship, not just a bunch of rules and regulations, it's a relationship that as you grow in it, you find love and you find joy and you find peace and you find that all these things that you were afraid of, God just takes care of it. But I think there's a lot of people that have avoided the Christian life and avoided service in the Christian life, and the reason is fear. He said, I was afraid. I was afraid. I've seen people in fear walk away from the invitation to be saved. I've seen people in fear walk away from the abilities that are put in front of them to serve God. And this servant, this unfaithful servant, was held back in fear. But we also see two other things here really quickly, and I'm just about done here. We see that there is wickedness and laziness. So we see three things: fear, we see wickedness, and we see laziness. We see here that this man was afraid. But look at verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawn. We see that the master is going to describe this man. He describes himself as being afraid, and then the master describes him as, number one, being wicked, and he also describes him as being lazy. So I think there are three reasons why men fail in service for God. I think that often fear is what's keeping them from serving God. And then I think sometimes their wickedness is keeping them from serving God. He says, you're a wicked servant. I wonder how many people are not serving God today, and it's because of their personal wickedness. It's because they're so indebted and enslaved to sin. And that's what's keeping you from being a faithful servant. Then he says, you're slothful. We've looked at the sloth before. It's an animal that is so lazy that literally moss grows in its fur. It doesn't even hardly eat. It'll go days without eating, according to people that have studied it, because it's too much effort to go eat. Now, I've never, ever been so lazy that I couldn't eat. Amen? I have watched PBS for endless hours because the remote control was just out of reach. And there were no kids in the house to get it for me. Now, y'all are laughing because you've done the same thing. How many of you have ever watched a program you had no interest in, but you didn't want to get up and go get the remote control, and it was on the other side? How many of you have done it? Raise your hand. Yes. Yes, there's many of us in the room. It's all right. You can admit it. How many of you have ever seen that thing come across your TV that says battery low on your remote control, and your answer to it, instead of changing the batteries, was press the buttons harder? Get up and move closer to the TV, you know? Oh, man. Listen, he says, you're a slothful servant. He said, you're a wicked servant. You've got a lot of wickedness, and it's going to keep you from being a good servant. But he said also, you're a lazy servant. You're slothful. So we see three deterrents to serving God. Fear deters a lot of people. We see laziness deters a lot of people. And we see wickedness. I don't know if you're serving God or not. If you're involved in the service of God, you're doing a good thing for yourself. One day there will be a great reward for what you're doing for the Lord. But if you're not, is it one of these three reasons? Are you afraid? You know, what if I fail? Well, what if you do? I mean, every one of these men had different levels of investment and there was a different level of expectation in those investments. You'll see this over the next few weeks when I get into this. The guy that had 5 talents heard well done, and the guy that had 3 talents that went from 3 to 6 heard well done. Although one did much more than the other, God was just as pleased equally in the investment that they were given. He was impressed and pleased with it. The one that was afraid did not hear well done. And so, you know, what if you fail? What if you're not able to do as much as the guy on the other side of the pew? What if you're not able to do as much as some other person? Well, you know, God's not comparing you to other people. God's comparing you to what he invested into you and what he gifted you to do. So, you know, fear keeps a lot of people from serving God. Fear, laziness, wickedness. Fear, laziness, wickedness. We see this unfaithful servant with all three conditions. I hope that you will search your life and make sure that you are serving God, and do not let fear, laziness. One guy said that work doesn't bother me at all. I can lay down right next to it and go straight to sleep. And I have found that to be true of a lot of people. Find somewhere to serve God. Now, we're going to look at this more in depth, and we're going to really find some strong things out of this over the next couple of Sunday nights. But that's just to get you started here. A quick word from the Word. Are you allowing fear? Are you allowing laziness or slothfulness? Are you allowing personal sin to keep you from serving God? As we can see in the text, the servant was expected to serve. He was expected to do something. You know that God expects you to do something? God expects you to serve him. And one day you're going to stand before him. You see the excuses given by the unfaithful servant. You see the response, and we'll look at it in greater detail. The response was, "You're a wicked and slothful man." Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before the Lord one day and have him look at me and say, "You didn't get anything done, and I gave you the opportunity to do it because you were afraid, because you were living in wickedness, and because you were just lazy." That is not three things I want to hear the Savior look at me and say one day. Who's with me on that? Say amen. Amen. Think about it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to open the invitation. Sunday nights, I always encourage you. Tomorrow morning starts a big work week for you. Lots of stress waiting for you, and just lots of deadlines and work and all kinds of stuff. Go into it prayed up. I don't know what your personal need is or what your personal worry is. I do know this. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Prayer changes things. Prayer gives you a power to get through it. I want to encourage you to come and spend some time praying tonight. Let me ask you this before I have you stand, though. Would there be anybody here tonight that would say, "Preacher, I do not know for sure that if I died tonight that I would go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up? And I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Preacher, I don't know for sure." Listen, I gave you just a quick word from the Word, but it was a powerful word, a powerful challenge. Don't be afraid. Don't be a sloth. Don't live in wickedness, because it'll keep you from serving God. Keeping you from serving God will one day put you in a place that you don't want to be with God. If that be the case, recognize it. Go to work on it. Repent of it and fix it. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll take this quick word from the Word and multiply it as only the Holy Spirit can do. Lord, tonight we've had the privilege of getting to know some of our brand new family members and get to hear their testimonials, something I had planned to do tonight. And Lord, I'm so glad that they were willing to do this, and I'm happy that they were willing to share with us some things. Lord, I pray that you'll let them assimilate into our church and become part of our family and learn to love us, Lord, even with our flaws and things that I know every church does things differently, and churches have strengths and churches have weaknesses, and members have strengths and weaknesses as well. Let us be gracious one toward another. Let us learn to love each other in a way that you would be pleased. And Lord, I pray that you'll continue to add to our church daily. We give you the honor and the glory for it. Now, Lord, there may be somebody coming up to pray about a very important need tonight. Lord, I pray that you will hear their prayers. And Lord, let us evaluate our life and make sure that we're not the unfaithful servant because we're afraid. And that we're not unfaithful because we're living and harboring sin in our life. And it's made us wicked. And then, Lord, slothful. Let us never be lazy. Let us be people that are diligent, redeeming the time and making the most of it. Because one day we will stand before you. Let us live accordingly. We ask all this in Jesus' name.